Good afternoon. I'm John Jaroszewski, Assistant Chancellor for University Advancement. It's a pleasure to have Dr. John Worry joining us on WIPZ-FM for Parkside Today. Dr. Worry is a 1972 graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside and a partner and founder of Forward Dental Group. John, welcome to our studio.
Well, thank you, John, for having me here at the university. It's been a long time in coming, and as you know, I graduated in 1972, so this is perhaps the second, third time that I've been on campus in the last year, and before that, there was a pause.
Well, you were busy, very busy. John, John was our alumni in residence here today to meet with students to share his experience in healthcare from his early education here at UW-Parkside's pre-health program under the guidance of what I would consider the famous Dr. Anna Maria Williams, and how his training as a medical student did, in some ways, did not prepare him for his lifelong career in the ever-changing healthcare marketplace. So, John, what do you think? In what ways did Parkside prepare and inspire you to become a dentist?
Well, Parkside specifically did not direct me to becoming a dentist. It was really the experience here at Parkside that guided me down a path. The path was obviously a vision that I had personally, and Parkside's vision at the time I started in 1968 showed me the opportunity that if you follow a vision at the beginning of a university's career, in this case Parkside, you can do that in the world of science, business, the practice of medicine, practice of dentistry. So I observed that preparation through the passion that's been expressed by the faculty at the time I was there to hold truth to the mission of the university, hold truth to the mission of your department. So the faculty helped me and inspired me to engage people. They engaged the students, so I witnessed this. And, of course, they provide this caring and compassionate interaction with me. So it just happened that I happened to end up doing dentistry, and it was a constant rebalancing that became important to me as life went on, but I didn't realize that until later on. It not only became important, but it also became personal, and the two together allowed me to excel in the field of dentistry.
Wow. So in essence, there was an energy back in 1968, a fresh idea to establish a new university, and that sort of took hold of you and helped you form your career.
Right. The energy, I call it in the form of a calling. We all have a job, we have a work, we have a career. You can be unhappy with that or, you know, successful, but a calling gives you a higher sense of purpose. My observation and experience back in the 60s and early 70s was with the faculty, the operations people together that said they had a calling for a higher purpose of training me, a student, to go on to bigger and better things. So, yes, my calling is basically placing the needs of the patient first.
So your career began here. How about your experience today? You've been on campus a couple of times. I've been fortunate to be with you a couple of times. When we opened the new SC Johnson Integrated Science Lab, you were fond of telling me then, and again today, our students, you opened the first science lab in Greenquist Hall, and now you're here to open the second new SC Johnson Science Lab, and that's great. But how about the students you've interacted with over the past year and of course today? Do you see yourself in them?
I certainly do. As I had the opportunity to sit for about an hour in the area, just waiting or Dr. Lewis to, you know, meet me. I was watching the students. I interacted with them today, and they are very similar. Very simply stated, is I was watching the students entering the building. They walk with a different gait, a different body posture. Those walking out had a more relaxed feeling. So the anxiety that comes along with students is common, which I could experience that from my past, but also I witnessed it today in their entry into the building and leaving the building. What I learned, the lessons learned basically, is be present in the moment. If you're not present in the moment during your educational process, that means being aware of your surroundings, being aware of the people around you, being aware of what's being offered through the university, in this case, Wisconsin, UW-Parkside. If you're aware of that and being present, you can engage and interact with all those resources that will allow you to get the most out of your education here at Parkside. I, in the earlier years, was probably not as fortunate to have all this activity and horsepower behind me, but it came down to people presence that kept me in the game here at Parkside to finish 4 years.
You had mentioned to our students and some faculty that were in attendance today that perhaps you didn't believe that a college degree was your destiny. And you had mentioned what kept you in the game, as you said.
Yes, college was not my ultimate destiny. My father suggested and strongly suggested I would be the first graduate of the family. I got to go to college. Well, to keep him happy, I certainly attended Parkside. I didn't even register. My mom had to register me. I was more interested in working. But once I got started, I kind of got a win and a witnessing through the faculty interaction with me personally, a number of professors, that relationship was key to keeping me in the game and continuing my pursuit for over 4 years to finish with a degree in 1972 in chemistry.
In chemistry. And many people are beginning to be aware that our university, University of Wisconsin-Parkside, will be celebrating our 50th anniversary next year. And having you on campus, one of our first graduates, is very special and appropriate. You've mentioned a few faculty members' names in the halls today as we walked and interacted with people. Because of our audience, our special Parkside audience that's listening in today, can you name a few of those that were special? I'm sure there's some listeners today that would love to hear those names again and the difference that those their friends and colleagues made on your life.
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost is Dr. Anna Marie Williams, which I think the campus and the community certainly is aware of her contributions, her unselfish contributions to the university, to in particular Parkside, to the community, and most importantly, she loved her students. Dr. Norbert Eisenberg, actually Dr. Anna Marie Williams was microbiologist. Dr. Eisenberg, Norbert Eisenberg, organic chemistry teacher, PhD. He certainly had an impact on me, making sure I earned my right to pass his course by showing up for the exam. Of course, we had Eugene Goodman, biochemistry, and Michael Marin in physical chemistry are two, which helped understand that you earned a grant for research with the Department of Navy. We had individuals in the math department, that Dr. Cax is one of them that comes to mind, these individuals, and even in the non-science areas, although they weren't as impactful in influencing on my life as these men and women that I mentioned, they certainly rounded off some of the rough edges I had that needed rounding off to advance in today's world.
Yeah, I just as I interact with alumni in the work I do for the university, proudly do for the university, I hear faculty names. And I hear from our alumni how influential the faculty were and continue to be on our students' lives. So in effect, they're still with us through you, John. Let's talk a little bit about where life took you. A dentist that is also a founder of a business. Forward Dental. You know, we had both pre-health and science students today, as well as some business majors. Was that by design that we wanted to invite both those groups?
As we've, you know, in preparation for this encounter with the students, the answer is yes. My pathway through science into reality, I learned, not at Parkside, but I learned through my experiences that the business of, let's say, medicine, the business of optometry, business of vision and optometry, vision of dentistry and medicine cannot be above or below the business of that respective specialty. They have to be very, very equal. If one gets out of sync or imbalance, the result can be rather catastrophic for the demise of the business or your personal core mission, which may be, in my case, was placing the needs of the patient first. So the balance between those two, business schools and science schools, is a must, whether in research, because you've got to have a budget, you have to stay within it. We, as I always say, no profit, no mission. So if you truly believe in your core purpose and in making a contribution back to humanity, which is usually in the health sciences, in particular pre-health, is you've got to have that balance so you can provide the caring and compassion care that you are, which is part of your core purpose.
So it was a good message, I think, for our, particularly our pre-health students who, as you say, are being trained by some excellent faculty, and it's science and it's grades and it's getting into medical school, which we do at a 90% placement rate and have since your days. You were one of those that helped establish that legacy of success beginning in 1968 and then graduating in 72. But that there needs to be an understanding of how medicine is applied in the real world. And that's this combination of business understanding, because the doctor has to work inside of a business.
Absolutely. You can't provide care without some type of revenues coming in. Of course, there could be benevolent benefactors out there, but they're there. But for the vast majority of the population, and we're treating populations of patients, all those populations are made of individuals, to ensure they have the right to care, ensure that they have the right to the right of life through a healthier lifestyle. The business component helps balance the ability to provide that care, because in this world, you know, medicines cost money, research, people need to have some, you know, income to provide this care. So business is part of the medicine and dentistry. It's the real world we live in.
So that was a good message for our students and, quite frankly, our faculty to hear today from somebody who walked in our students' footsteps but has had much success integrating his passion for building a business with the skills and talents of being a high-quality dentist. So you had mentioned in the formation of Forward Dental, what has become Forward Dental, that there were two dental groups that formed your partnership early on, and you came together only because there was a shared vision, that it wouldn't have worked if there wasn't a common shared vision.
Absolutely. The world is changing in healthcare, as we know. You just read the papers, follow Medicare, and they're influencing through, they're a payer, obviously, they don't set care standards. And because there's only so many dollars available, one needs to understand that if there's a healthcare is being delivered by a network, dentistry comes from a cottage industry model, that's truly not a network that's linked together for a common purpose. In my growth in the dental world, I started out in a group practice, understood that this is the way it would happen based on my experiences in New York City, came back to Milwaukee, had the group, grew the group, and realized that wasn't enough. I had to form a partnership with another entity. Even though we were competitors in the marketplace, we had a common purpose. The needs of the patient comes first is the simple way of putting it. With that, we could learn to readjust and rebalance our other differences in the world of our region, which is basically Milwaukee. Now we are in Wisconsin, throughout Wisconsin. So that blending and understanding that we are in a healthcare delivery network, not a small individual business, allowed us to merge together to transcend the popular opinion of what a dental model should look like in delivery care.
I've come to know you, John, over about a year's time. We've had a lot of conversations. I jokingly said I've got a certificate in John Worry School of Business, because we've talked so much about your business interests and your the work you do to help advance as a member of the team of Forward Dental. But I called the office this week in preparation for your visit to campus, and they said you were with patients. And I forget that you're a practicing dentist, as well as a business leader inside your organization. You have some method behind that madness of trying to balance both worlds. Why?
Well, it is a challenge. Whether you're in solo practice or a large organization that's well-structured, disciplined, and outcome-driven like ours, there has to be a balance. I practice at the chair. Obviously, there's a reason for that. It helps to maintain my presence as a leader among the dentists within our group. In addition, I'm elected to the executive team, which helps manage all the business affairs of our large group. So I wear two hats, and that's a strategy. But at the same time, this model that I help create and build with others, it's just not me alone. There's many others that are have contributed to this delivery of healthcare with Forward Dental. I realize that the model has to change in the future. It's going to change, and we as the group are delivering that change through our seamless delivery network, not only with our group, that's a group of dentists, but with our premier business partner that provides the business expertise, the savvy, the experience. And a matter of fact, I'll be honest here, is those men and women provide such high level of experience, training, and comfort to our business model that it allows us to do dentistry better and at a higher level because we don't have to worry about the day-to-day operations. So yes, I basically work 24/7.
As a dentist and a business leader, we had an interesting interaction today with a student, recent graduate of Parkside, University of Wisconsin Parkside. She's a special student insofar as she's one of your employees at Forward Dental. Would you mind telling our audience a little bit about one of our favorite now alum and one of your favorite employees?
Yes, her name is Nora Wilcombe. Nora's been with us for a number of years as a hygienist. She practiced full-time hygiene for our group. She also pursued her education here at Parkside University. She pursued her education here at Parkside University and in along with that did some very high-level research. She was carrying, and she's a mother. And so she had a lot on her plate, a lot of responsibility. Nora took ownership of that. Nora was recognized recently by our group, Forward Dental Group, as a rising star in the group. We have a best practice event every year where rising stars are invited to. They experience some of the business part of what we do, some of the inspirational speakers that help us get motivated, breakout sessions, how do we bring back best practices to our group here in Wisconsin. So Nora was well recognized. In addition, that evening she was out there, the very first evening, she looked at her cell phone and realized that she just got accepted into dental school. It was a surprise to her. On that weekend, she was being recognized for her her willingness to work on a team and take care of the needs of the patient. But it's not just dental school. It's a research track for a PhD program in a combination with dentistry at the University of Minnesota. So we're very proud of Nora. Nora will do well, and she is one that you can really count on a team. A patient can count on her skill sets. Patient can count on her empathy and her awareness of what is going around in her immediate environment. And Nora is, I'm glad to have known Nora. If she can be president of the United States, I say I can be part of her growth.
I just think it's such a beautiful story. I've known Nora through as an outstanding student, one of her scholarship recipients, so I've gotten to know her that way. An outstanding graduate now, and here we have one of our earliest and, if I might say, most successful dentistry graduates employing one of our newest Parkside graduates. It's a beautiful story, quite frankly, and it's full of a lot of resonance at this university that our students, 60% of whom are the first in their family to go to college, like yourself, doctor, work tremendous amounts to afford school.
Yeah, with Nora, the interesting thing is that I know she worked in our Kenosha location, and one day out of the blue, I get an email from her, and she knew who I was, and she asked if I could help guide or mentor her while she was at Parkside. They said, well, Nora, I'm not sure, because that's a lot of responsibility, but I said, I'll meet with you, and we've met a couple times, and I gave her the bigger picture, really talking about what are you looking for? What's your purpose? What do you want to accomplish? Is there a journey that will definitely be ensued here. But at the same time, you've got to enjoy the process. So only you can do it. I sent her a few emails here or there as she had a few questions, and just hope that she, and she did, stay on the straight and narrow path to pursue the accolades that she's received recently, acceptance into the University of Wisconsin, actually University of Madison Medical School, and then the recognition down at Marquette.
University of Minnesota?
Yeah. She was accepted at the University of Minnesota Dental School and the PhD track program. And then, of course, recognized out at in Boston with about 300 of our partnership's colleagues seeing that she was a rising star.
That's just fantastic. And I would suggest that based on your thesis today here, as you've shared with our students on campus, understanding the business aspects of medicine is not going to be out of reach for Nora, having worked in your organization, which seems very progressive and very cutting edge in the area of service delivery. And she has got one heck of a foundation, both academically and skills for the workforce. So she should be an excellent student and obviously a tremendous asset to healthcare in the future.
Oh, yeah. She'll be an asset to the profession, she'll be an asset to patients, and she'll be an asset to the research arm of whatever institution she is going to be connected with.
Well, you mentioned today, John, one of your dreams back in 1968 was maybe you could be a professor someday. And back then you sort of decided maybe you didn't have what it took. But look what you've done here. Through your practice of Forward Dental, which you've spent a lifetime building, you've helped train and teach one of our best and brightest graduates, and has successfully helped her get into a PhD program. I would suggest you are a professor, doctor.
Well, thank you. I'll put a little asterisk behind that goal and say there's read the fine print.
one off the bucket list.
Yes.
Just a beautiful story. I do thank you for that. That's personal as well as professional. And isn't that what having a life of passion is about? You talk to the students about having a job or a passion. And that's want to articulate a little bit about what you meant
by
that?
Sure. We all enter into the workforce, whether it's just a part-time job, full-time job, or a career. It starts out as a job. Is it work? Is it a career? Or is it a calling? All of them have their advantages and disadvantages, but when you look at the real asset, it's the calling, where you have a purpose in life. You have a purpose in what you do. You can marry that calling together with empathy and perspective on your caring. In our case, it's dentistry, patient needs of the patient first. So that calling allows you to have a more of a happiness journey through your life. Whereas a job, work, or career, you may not always be happy. So can you turn your chosen field, your chosen path into a calling? And you have to figure that out somewhere along the way.
Might lead you to want to work at a university like I do, because I can certainly sense that resonated with me. Why I do what I do, and why I get up every day is really drives me forward. And I'm proud and honored to hear one of our alumni talk about that being a key attribute of what motivates him every day. So as we celebrate this 50th anniversary coming up, we hope to have more alumni like you on campus in what we're calling our Alumni in Residence program. You're really our first under that new banner. We have the moniker for the 50th: Bold Beginnings, Future Focus. We've talked a lot here today about the bold beginnings. You came early to campus today and took the long walk from Talent Hall parking lot all the way to campus, just as you did when you were a student. And but how about the future? In your estimation, John, when you look at our students today, what do you think are those skills they do need that are different than perhaps you carried out of here back in 1972? And advice for us as a university, what should we be thinking about and helping our students understand?
Well, I think the important thing is we all know that a quality education, whether it's in business, arts, theater, science, is the ticket in. That's the price of admission. So you've got to be smart. You've got to pay attention in the college world. What I've learned is that in addition to that, That helps you get in the door. After that is how does one interact on teams, knowing that each individual on the team is independent, but you're interdependent for that particular team goal. Team goal, I would say, if you're working on a research project with a number of people at a corporation or a research facility, is everyone aligned? And understanding people's emotions, your emotions are key. It's not the leader. It's everyone has a leadership responsibility to make that team be as effective as possible. So it requires each individual to have humility. Requires each individual on that team to have hunger to do the best they can. And it requires each individual on that team to be smart. I'm not talking about, you know, science or math smarts. That's your ticket in. You paid for that. It's smart about other people, their emotions. How do you access and manage and craft those emotions into a team that's really effective? So it's emotional intelligence is a key. And that doesn't happen overnight. Training is key. And I see going forward that if a university can work some type of training into the basic curriculum about leadership skills and so forth, that this would be beneficial in this global world that we live in, because teamwork is going to allow you, I think, to sustain your job much longer.
That is fantastic advice. Dr. John Worry, it's been great having you in our studio today. It's been great having you on campus as our alumni in residence. We want to wish you continued success with Forward Dental. And of course, you know, I'm going to continue to invite you back to campus to be a part of our community, particularly during our 50th celebrations next academic year. So thank you. Thank you for coming in. This has been John Jerzewski, Assistant Chancellor, University Advancement, and this is Parkside Today.